Blog Talk Radio.
Let's just prepare our hearts to worship the Lord, because He is worthy of praise, honor, and glory. That we can come before Him and lay down our lives before Him and just lift up our hearts and thank Him. Glory to Your name, Lord God. You alone are worthy. You are King and Lord of all.
King of kings, we worship You this day. Glory to the King of kings, we worship You this day. Glory to the King of kings.
heart is full of admiration for you, my Lord, my God and King. Your excellence, my inspiration, your words of grace have made my spirit sing. You love what's right and hate all evil. Therefore, your God sets you on high and on your head pours oil.
Belong to you.
we magnify your name. Because you alone are worthy of the highest praise. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb of God. To
Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us again tonight. We only are going to take a few minutes just to look at a couple of things, and we're still looking at E.M. Bounds' book on the purpose of prayer. And we have about 9 minutes that we will be on the line live, and then we will go into our recording. But just so excited about what God is doing and what he has done, and that he's teaching us prayer and how to pray, what to pray. And as we study the books of E.M. Bounds, we are finding some amazing things that God revealed to him and taught him with regards to prayer, how we must be on purpose in our praying. We are looking still at his book, Purpose of Prayer. And one thing that caught my eye was that he said, why is this so? And he's talking about, we have not prayed to bring the evil to an end. We have not prayed as we must pray. We have not met the conditions of prayer. And he goes on and he says that, ask of me, ask of God. We have not rested on prayer. We have not made prayer the sole condition. There has been violation of the primary condition of prayer. We have not prayed aright. We have not prayed at all. God is willing to give, but we are slow to ask. The Son, through his saints, is ever praying, and God the Father is ever answering. Ask of me. In the invitation is conveyed the assurance of answer. The shout of victory is there and may be heard by the listening ear. The Father holds the authority and power in his hands. How easy is the condition, and how long are we in fulfilling the conditions? Nations in bondage. The uttermost parts of the earth are still unpossessed. The earth groans. The world is still in bondage. Satan and evil hold sway. And as I read this, I become so amazed, because we see that that we don't take the time for prayer as we ought. We don't take the time to really get into prayer and to really pray our prayers through. We don't take the time to really take a hold of the horns of the altar and really ask God to break through our midnights, to break through the midnights of our loved ones. And I think that when we come to that place, we come to that place of prayer where we ask God to literally break through our midnights and our strongholds in those places that are holding back the blessings of God, that's where we will begin to see major breakthrough for the things of laborers going forth, that we're asking God and really asking him to send forth laborers, and then being willing to be one of those laborers. He says it in such an awesome way. I want to share that with you one more time. The Father holds the authority and power in his hands. How easy is the condition, and yet how long are we in fulfilling the conditions? Nations are in bondage. The uttermost parts of the earth are still unpossessed. The earth groans. The world is still in bondage. Satan and evil hold sway. The Father holds himself in the attitude of giver. Ask of me, he states. And the petition to God the Father empowers all agencies, inspires all movements. The gospel is divinely inspired, and back of all its inspiration is prayer. Ask of me lies of all movements, standing as the endowment of the enthroned Christ is the oath-bound covenant of the Father. Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And men shall pray to him continually. Ever are the prayers of holy men streaming up to God as fragrant as the richest incense. And God, in many ways, is speaking to us, declaring his wealth and our impoverishment. I am the maker of all things. The wealth and glory are mine. Command ye me. We can do all things by God's aid and can have the whole of his aid by asking. The gospel in its success depends on our ability to pray. The dispensations of God depend on man's ability to pray. We can have all that God has. Command ye me. This is no figment of the imagination, no idle dream, no vain fancy. The life of the church is the highest life. Its office is to pray. It's prayer. Life is the highest office, the most odorous, the most conspicuous. The book of Revelation says nothing about prayer as a great duty, a service, but much about prayer in its aggregated force and energies. It is the prayer force that ever living, ever praying. It is all saints' prayers going out as a mighty living energy while the lips that utter the words are stilled and sealed in death. While the living church has an energy of faith to inherit the forces of all the past praying and make it deathless. The statement of the Baptist philosopher John Foster, he basically contains the purest philosophy and truth, simple truth of God. For God has no force and demands no conditions but prayer. More and prayer praying will bring the surest and readiest triumph to God's cause. We must see that. No feeble, formal, listless praying brings decay. It brings decay and death. But the church has its sheer anchor in the closet. Its magazine stores are there. I am convinced, Foster continues, that every man who, amidst his serious projects, is of his dependence upon God as completely as that dependence is a fact, will be impelled to pray and anxious to induce his serious friends to pray almost every hour. We only have a few moments left of our live broadcast, and I thank you so much because as we get into this, we see the urgency of prayer. We see that there is no intimidation in prayer, that as we come boldly to the throne room, praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord says simply, ask me. Ask me. There's no limit to what he will do if we will only ask him. We're going to take a few minutes, and we will be right back.
Let's just prepare our hearts to worship the Lord, because he is worthy of praise, honor, and glory. That we can come before him and lay down our lives before him and just lift up our hearts and thank him. Glory to your name, Lord God. You alone are worthy. You are King and Lord of all.
We're looking at, thank you so much, but we have a few more minutes left, and we're looking at the potency of the potency rather of prayer, and how it has subdued the strength of fire. It bridled the rage of lions, hushed the anarchy to rest, and extinguished wars, appeased the elements, expelled demons, burst the chains of death, expanded the gates of heaven. It dislodged diseases. It burst the chains of death, expanded the gates of heaven, repelled frauds, rescued cities from destruction, stayed the sun in its course, and arrested the progress of the thunderbolt. Prayer is an all-efficient power, a treasure undiminished, a mind which is never exhausted, a sky unobscured by clouds, a heaven unruffled by the storm. It is the root, the fountain, the mother of a thousand blessings. The prayers of holy men appease God's wrath, drive away temptations, resist and overcome the devil, procure the ministry and services of angels, rescind the decrees of God. Prayer cures sickness and obtains pardon. It arrests the sun in its course and stays the wheels of the chariot of the moon. It rules literally over all gods and opens and shuts the storehouses of rain. It unlocks the cabinet of the womb and quenches the violence of fire. It stops the mouths of lions and reconciles our suffering and weak faculties. With the violence of torment and violence of persecution, it pleases God and supplies all of our needs. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Wherefore, let your voice rise like a fountain for me night and day. For what are men better than sheep or goats that nourish a blind life within the brain? If, knowing God, they lift not hands of prayer, both for themselves and for those who call them friend. For so the whole round earth is very way, bound by gold chains about the feet of God. That was Tennyson. Perfect prayer is only another name for love. Finian. It has said, or it was said, of the late C.H. Spurgeon that he glided from laughter to prayer with the naturalness of one who lived in both elements. With him, the habit of prayer was free and unfettered. His life was not divided into compartments, the one shut off from the other with a frigid exclusiveness that barred all intercommunication. He lived in constant fellowship with the Father in heaven. He was ever in touch with God, and thus it was a natural for him to pray as it was for him to breathe. What a fine time we have had, God, for it, he said to a friend on one occasion. When out under the blue sky and wrapped in glorious sunshine, they had enjoyed a holiday with the unfettered enthusiasm of schoolboys. Prayer sprang as spontaneously to his lips as did ordinary speech, and never was there the slightest incongruity in his approach to the divine throne straight from any scene in which he might be taking part. That is the attitude with regard to prayer that ought to mark every child of God. There are, and there ought to be, stated seasons of communication with God when everything else shut out. We come into his presence to talk to him and to let him speak to us. And out of such seasons spring that beautiful habit of prayer that weaves a golden bond between earth and heaven. Without such stated seasons, the habit of prayer can never be formed. Without them, there is no nourishment for the spiritual life. By means of them, the soul is lifted into a new atmosphere. atmosphere, the atmosphere of the heavenly city, in which it is easy, so easy, to open the heart of God and to speak with him as a friend speaks with a friend. Thus, in every circumstance of life, prayer is the most natural outpouring of the soul, the unhindered turning to God for communion and direction, whether in sorrow or in joy, in defeat or in victory, in health or in weakness, in calamity or in success. The heart leaps to meet God, just as a child runs to his mother's arms, ever sure that with her is the sympathy that meets every need. Dr. Adam Clark, in his autobiography, records that when Mr. Wesley was returning to England by ship, considerable delay was caused by contrary winds. Wesley was reading when he became aware of some confusion on board, and asking what the matter, he was informed that the wind was contrary. Then was his reply, "Let's go to prayer." After Dr. Clark had prayed, Wesley broke out in fervent supplication, which seemed to be more offering of faith than of mere desire. "Almighty and everlasting God," he prayed, "thou hast swayed everywhere, and all things serve the purpose of thy will. Thou holdest the winds in thy hands, and sittest upon the waters' flood, and reignest king forever. Command these winds and these waves that they obey thee, and take us speedily and safely to the haven whither we would go. The Lord bless you. The Lord watch over you, and we will be back with you this time next Friday night. Pray. Pray on purpose. Pray like you mean it. You know,
my heart.